the time of King Herod, I'm starting at verse 1 here. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed a star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I might pay him homage too." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Look at somebody and say, they went another way. They went another way. In chemistry now, any chemists here? Great. So, one. If I'm wrong, don't bust me out right now. But I'm right. I know it on this one. In chemistry, it's called activation energy. Let me show you how it works. Okay, so in any chemical reaction, fire, for example, there's an existing balance. And to change that balance, well, you can't change that. That's not how it works. You don't change it. You have to disrupt the balance. The balance exists, and you have to disrupt it. It means you have to bring something from the outside to shift or begin the reaction that needs to take place. To make something decompose, for example, or to compose, to come together, or in fire's case, to combust. To make something combust, activation energy is the minimum amount of energy required to begin a chemical reaction. So in this case, I'm working really, really hard, right? But I'm not really doing anything because this particular problem has a threshold. If your energy isn't building up to activation, technically it's wasted energy. Technically. You might be having fun blowing on paper, but no matter how hot my breath is, there will be no fire started here. For the goal at hand, it will require more. Doc, do I have that right? Activation energy? Okay. In one sense, this is a problem that you notice with institutions. Getting things moving. Good people can be ate up within organizations because the ship moves too slow. The energy to activate does not come from one person. That's the problem. One person is not enough activation energy. Social justice doesn't come from one person. That person can be a catalyst, but then there needs to be enough energy spread throughout. Now, in leadership texts, the conversation is around managing the energy or temperature around a particular issue, keeping it stable. And this is what we've come to know as homeostasis. Now, you all know that word. You've said it many times. We think about it. Listen, Barack Obama learned this as president. The system prefers a certain temperature. And to activate requires an expense of energy that neither he nor the system had felt. In many ways, what we are witnessing now in Washington is a cooling off of issues and changes that had been happening. Okay, he gone. Let's go ahead and bring this thing back. It is a return to stability, but whose stability? In the body, the same thing. We have 12 major systems in our body, all functioning or supposed to be functioning at the same time. 12 systems, circulatory, respiratory, digestive, nervous. And to operate like that, you need stability. You need it. You need a certain temperature. When systems find a thing that works, this is the challenge of addiction, isn't it? The nervous system won't listen to your insistence that this thing will kill you. It doesn't listen. It likes it. In the same way, bodies store fat. Do bodies store fat, church? Does anybody know that bodies store fat? Let the church and the world say amen. Bodies store fat, and a lot better the older you get. I'm learning this now. Bodies don't want to exercise. They don't want to exercise. When you exercise, your body says to you, I'm keeping you alive, stupid. What are you doing? You need this fat. Look how cold it is outside. I don't have a coat for you. You need all of this. It means, y'all, that if we want to lose fat, the body itself will not do this. It will require an expense of more energy than usual. And what we also notice is that if we bring the same energy to a new goal, a new problem, losing weight, any resolutions out here around that, that we might stop gaining with that same energy, but why aren't we losing? Activation energy, church, is why on the south side, why are we still facing the same challenges of affordable housing and of food insecurity and of divestment from education and underemployment? Because we have just enough energy, God bless us, to stop it when it's happening in that moment. But the energy required to change course, the resolutions that we bring to this year, the goals that we bring, the challenges that we must overcome, and they're in our heads and our hearts right now, the new stuff that we got to do this year, and the same energy that we bring to it. In our bodies, I'm talking about sweat. That's what I'm talking about. In our bodies, it's when the body overheats so much that it releases fluid as a way of cooling off. It is a signal to you that you are working beyond homeostasis. You are working beyond the status quo. You are working over there. And if the goal is to lose, to get into shape, and in my case, it was to become a better runner. And John Fish, some of y'all remember that name. For some, this will be a new name that you've never heard before. But John Fish is one of the saints of this congregation, and he gave me some good advice he said, you want to learn how to run? Go out and break a sweat. What strange advice. When I would look in the mirror and hate what I saw. Such a weird thing we do to ourselves, isn't it? When every meal felt guilty almost, everything I put in my body I thought about. When I could only think about a 5K, I was thinking about it. John told me to put away all the manuals and the training regimens and start teaching my body how to work harder than it thinks it can. Start working that body and to break a sweat, and eventually my body would adjust, it would change. And I would get better. And so if it took me 10 minutes to sweat, I wouldn't sweat for 12 minutes a week later. And then it would be 15 minutes a week later until eventually your body just doesn't overheat for 30 minutes. It won't overheat. You'll be okay. And you know what that is? That's your first race. A 5K. And if I wanted to change, John said, I needed to sweat. I needed to break myself. And then after breaking myself, I needed to take time to rest because in the built-in rest, my muscles would become stronger. Now, all of us are going to have to reckon with one of two questions in 2018 for the goals that we have set for ourselves. What is it going to take for me to activate to get that thing done this year? What is the activation energy required to do this, to go from rubbing paper and breathing on it to starting fires in my life? To finish that project this year and stop staring at it, to whatever it is. And the second question is, how do I build in rest so that I don't kill myself or kill my family or kill my relationships and kill my spirit in the process of doing it? Because most of us in this place, in Hyde Park and Woodlawn and Bronzeville, most of us will have no problem working hard enough. But will we rest enough to avoid the weariness? I know this story is supposed to be about this baby, Jesus, and the wise men that come to worship him. Oh, come, let us adore him. That's about that moment. But I just want to turn to Herod for a moment. I just want to look at him. Herod himself is presented as this big, bad meanie, ain't he, in the Bible? Like, he's a mean dude. And he is a mean dude. He's almost in the Bible presented as one of those, like, generic superhero villains with the purple face that you see in the movies. Like, I don't really know who they are or what their name is. I just know that they're not good. And that's almost Herod in this story. Like, I know that Jesus is not Herod. I know the wise men are not Herod. But his presence is of the utmost importance for the Jewish people. Herod was governor on behalf of Rome for all of Judea. But Herod was not Roman. Herod was Jewish. He was also raised Jewish. And that means he would have heard all of those scriptures in Isaiah that Julie led in the antiphonal movement. He would have known all of those scriptures and had that same anticipation for a Messiah, for a Savior, for someone to call Wonderful God, Mighty Counselor, Prince of Peace, about a people that would rise from domination and exclusion and would rule again. Herod would know those. He would have looked forward to those days and read every moment that happened in their lives against the backdrop of redemption, because that's how Jews read the Bible. That's how they read history, against the backdrop of redemption. And Herod was installed by Rome and could be removed by Rome too now. And therefore, even though he was Jewish, the priorities of Rome became his priorities, even though he was Jewish. And they called Herod King of the Jews. That was a name they called him. This meant one thing, that he was going to be the one who was going to rescue his people. He was rescuing his people. They weren't under Roman oppression. Look, it's a Jew. One of us is ruling. The famous story told by the historian Josephus is of the time in the winter when Josephus says, snow fell from God. They didn't know where snow came from. Snow fell from God, and there were bandits in the caves. And the caves were high up in the mountains, so Herod, at this point, just a small leader, Herod built a machine that lowered crates of soldiers into the caves, and this was in Capernaum. You've heard that city before. But he left his boy Ptolemy to keep the peace there after he took care of those bandits in the caves. And you know what they did to Ptolemy? They killed him. They killed him super quick. And so Herod came back and he killed all of them. What a hero. And then a year later, there was a little revolt that was beginning to burn up in Galilee. There was a little fire beginning to start. And the Romans, the emperor said, Herod, go take care of that. And so he stamped out this revolt in Galilee. And Josephus says, even killing those that were taking refuge in the temple. That's not good. And this made people very mad. And to curry favor with all the people, he dropped all of their taxes by a third. And he expanded the great temple in Jerusalem, and now this made people very happy. I got more money in my pocket. The temple, the place where I go all the time, looks beautiful. It looks awesome. Go, Herod, go, Herod, go. Herod the Great was the name he got after that. Herod the Great, the Savior who was one of them. For him, this was redemption. We own the temple now, right? We have power now, right? I am the redemption. We didn't need to overthrow Rome. We didn't need any reaction. We don't need to start a fire. I will take care of you. When we are falsely led to believe that our things will take care of us. God help us when we falsely believe in redemption with no revolution. That if the people change, that they will make the system better. All we need is a new somebody in that system, and they'll make it better. They'll change it. We don't need any combustion. Let's just keep rubbing the paper. Trust me, Herod was willing to do just enough to not activate anything. To manage, but not to change. And this is what made him great. Until some wise men, some astrologists, see a star falling from the sky, which everyone back then, they don't say that, everyone back then knew that if there was a star, if they saw a star falling from the sky, that that meant that somebody great had just died or somebody great had just been born. That's what that meant. And everybody knew that. And so they came to Herod, the king of the Jews is here. Show us to him. And Herod is floored, right? Like, what you talking about? I'm the king of the Jews. No. We meant the real king. And Herod has no clue, but you can see his collar starting to sweat. Huh. Bring him to me so I can pay homage to him. He looks like a special boy, I'm sure. I would love to worship him. Or what's that word y'all use? Adore? Yeah, I want to adore him too. Yeah, bring him to me. Why would he do that? Why would Herod do that? Herod's intent is to keep what we have. Why would he bless this child? To bless him would mean his combustion. Jesus was making him sweat, y'all, already as a baby. The effect that this child has on power, and here it is made plain. Herod does not want to be activated. Herod does not want to change. Herod wants to keep things balanced. Cool. But then they see Jesus, and there's no way they can go back the way that they came. I love that. They chose another way. When we encounter God, it shifts our priorities. It moves our fear. It reconciles our laziness. When we meet God, it changes our sight. It alters our perspective. And the people we ignored, we now find ourselves in community with them. When we meet God, the places where we never wanted to go, we now seek to protect as much as our own home. The people that used to agitate us now inspire us. Things change when we meet God, church. Things should change. Jesus should activate something in us. Not just, oh, I'm glad you're here, Jesus. Thanks for being born however many years ago. No, it should activate something in us. That part of us that wants to see love come into full bloom. That part of us that wants peace. That part of us that wants health. That wants abundance. It should wake up. It is time for new energy. Most leaders don't want to and aren't willing to apply the energy needed to combust. Even the ones that are one of us. We manage, but we don't activate. In our own lives, we manage, but we don't activate. What I love about Don Coleman, the brother, the pastor, who we're going to say goodbye to in a few, was the man was willing to break a sweat, y'all. The man was willing to break a sweat. Kyle, a few years ago, looked at his life and the course that it was headed on, decided that that was not appropriate and that something needed to change. He decided it was time to break a sweat. This year, I seek not to get by. I seek to overcome. I seek not to maintain the status quo, even if it's done good by me. If it's destroying the people that I love, the people who I am called to love, I seek to set fire to it, church. I come humbly to shake it up in the name of God. I seek to activate beyond my regular energy, the energy that maintains and manages but does not change. I seek to find God. I have seen the face of Herod and felt the rod of Herod. I don't know how hard it will be, but I know now that I've felt God, I can never go that way again. I can never go that way again. I don't know the way ahead. I just know it is not that way. Church, does anybody know that? I know I cannot go that way again. This year, I'm going to have to try something different. I'm going to have to apply new energy to old problems. I come seeking Jesus. I want to sweat. Does anybody want to sweat? I want my life to sweat out impurities that are unhealthy. I want to activate enough to sweat out the people and the circumstances that I have grown beyond that are no longer good for me. If we want better relationships, if we want to transform relationships that are broken in our lives, you're going to have to sweat. Period. Do you want to use your energy better? Do you want to discover another way? Epiphany means when light appears. It's the moment when you see the light. You see yourself. You see the world around you. January 1st hits, and then you say, it's time. Okay, it's time. The way of Herod is doing too much and changing too little. And now that you have seen the light, make sure you never go that way again. This year, don't manage the temperature. Start a fire. Something that will last longer than this fire. Something that in February will still be happening. Something that in November will still be moving your life. Something that when you look this time a year from now, you can say started today. Let's stop managing our lives. Let's start activating. It's time for us to break a sweat, church. Amen. In the silence, find the areas of your life where it's time to sweat.